For many rural Ohioans, their web address is www.not. Most of us download movies or sell to our customers in the blink of an eye, but some Ohioans, without broadband, must live with internet transactions akin to shoving a bowling ball through a garden hose. Why doesn't everyone, everywhere, have high-speed internet? What are the consequences of that situation? And most importantly, what can be done about it? Bringing cyberspace to the wide open spaces is what we're doing today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
At the website of the Ohio Supercomputer Center, you'll find some surprising statistics. More than 40% of U.S. zip codes have one or fewer broadband providers. Comparing the U.S. to 30 other developed nations, we are no better than the middle of the pack in terms of broadband penetration. And we are the fourth worst country in terms of having kids who've never used a computer. Not so good for the biggest economy in the world. Here at home, the digital divide is generally geographic. Broadband is far less available the farther you live from town. The problems of and solutions to the lack of broadband is what we're discussing today, and we have three guests who I know have every one of the answers. Joining us in the studio today is Stan Ahalt. He is the executive director of the Ohio Supercomputer Center. Ed Kozilek joins us from Time Warner Cable, where he is their vice president of government affairs. And Ohio Farm Bureau's director of policy development, Mr. Chris Henney, is our guest. Gentlemen, welcome to all of you here on Town Hall Ohio. You are all a part of the Broadband Council, and we're going to talk about broadband service in depth, but I want to set the stage by describing the Broadband Council. Stan, give us you're chairperson of this, are you not?
I'm actually co-chair, Joe.
Close enough.
With Steve Edmondson, who's the state CIO. And let's see, the Broadband Council was formed by Governor Strickland to give some oversight to broadband expenditures at the state level. And the idea is that we want to try to utilize the state's dollars in a very constructive and efficient fashion to make sure that we, over time, grow broadband as aggressively as we can in the state of Ohio. So the idea is that by cooperating together, the state agencies and the other organizations that we already represent, for example, higher education, the K-12 community, a scattering of hospitals, they're able to hopefully incent my good colleagues in the private sector to be able to build out further and more aggressively into areas that are underserved. And the idea is that even in some of the more urban areas that are already served, we'll be able to provide even better access by way of organizing our collective purchases, that is. The idea is that we would be building bigger pipes out to these locations as a consequence of us kind of concentrating our buying power.
It's just my default position that anytime you get academicians and government people together, it never hurts to have a dose of the private sector involved. And Ed Kozilek with Time Warner, what's your role, Time Warner's role, the private sector's role in this whole broadband council thing that Stan just described?
Well, I think you just identified it, and I think the governor recognized that in order to create a meaningful broadband council, you not only had to have public sector involvement, but you needed to involve the private sector industries that are actually building the infrastructure and are responsible for the continued deployment of that infrastructure in the state.
Chris Henney of the Ohio Farm Bureau, why are you here and why are you on the Broadband Council representing our organization?
Well, I like to think that we, among several other organizations that serve on the Broadband Council, represent the users out there. Specifically for us, the rural user, those farmers and other rural residents that need broadband service, need access and affordability, really.
What's the vision? 5 years from now, 15 years from now, if this council's successful, how is broadband service and internet use in Ohio going to be different, Stan?
Well, let me preface my comments by saying that we have actually just formed a subcommittee that's going to do a strategic planning process so that we get far better and more informed input than simply mine. But let me just tell you what my vision is, and I think Governor Strickland would probably endorse my vision, at least I would hope so. I would like to see Ohio be one of the most well-covered broadband states in the union. In fact, I'd like to see not only are we pushing coverage out to all 88 counties and to every citizen of the state of Ohio, but ultimately I'd like to see us making use of broadband to stimulate our economy in ways that perhaps we haven't even dreamed of. You know, I think we're going through one of those transformative periods in history where, we've gone from, a farming economy to an industrial economy, and now we're shifting to a knowledge economy. And information processing, B2B activities, telemedicine, all of these things are going to require, high-speed interconnects between citizenry, government agencies, et cetera. And so, and I'd like to see Ohio lead the way.
Probably should ask Stan this question since he's the technical expert, but I'll start with you, Ed. Let's get some terminology or broadband internet connectivity 101. When we say broadband, what are we talking about, and how does that differ from dial-up or other types of internet connectivity?
So you chose to ask the
lobbyist.
Yeah, the most technologically inefficient person here, but that's a good question, actually. Because if you look to the FCC's definition, they define high speed as 200 kilobits one way. And that means either when you push the send button or when you're receiving. And usually you'll get the higher speed in the downloads when you're bringing information in as opposed to uploading the information. But my guess is that Stan and maybe Chris would think that that definition is antiquated and in need of an overhaul.
Oh, give us a comparison of 200 kilobits is defined as broadband. What's dial-up?
Dial-up is can be as low as 26 kilobits.
And what's a kilobit?
It's a thousand bits.
Well, that really helps me understand. Put it in practical terms. If I want to download the front cover of my Sports Illustrated, what are we talking about in difference of speed between having something that's really fast and something that's really slow?
You know, you picked an interesting example because pictures are in a category that, you know, perhaps will confound the question a little bit. But let's say a typical picture of, reasonable resolution is going to be probably 2 to 4 megabits, something like that. So it'll have a fairly decent resolution. It'll look pretty good on your computer screen. And if you're doing this at dial-up at 56 kilobits, it'll probably take you, I'm guessing off the top of my head, 40 or so seconds to download it. So you'll see it, gradually appear on your screen. At 200 kilobits, that's 4 times faster, so it would be a little bit quicker. But, most of the cable systems, I think now that Time Warner's rolling out around 3 to 6 megabits download, and I think about 1 or 2 megabits upload. But that would appear almost instantly. Now, just to give you a point of comparison, if you wanted to do a very high resolution MRI or some medical image where you're really trying to get a lot of information, we're starting to talk about gigabits or tens of gigabits of data, and that's hundreds of times larger potentially. So now we're talking about not being able, even on relatively high speed cable interconnects, to necessarily be able to do that quickly. Now, having given you that overly complicated answer.
My eyes haven't glazed over quite yet, so
you were,
I'm still with you.
If you were sending books or text or your typical transaction, they're much more compact. So, you could actually take a book and, download it pretty efficiently on any of these things, but any of these technologies. But, if you start looking at high-definition videos in particular, is going to be a real strain on all of our infrastructures.
So if you want to watch a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I think most folks, me included, when I think of getting internet service, it involves a physical cable being attached to my house and coming into my computer, but that's not the only way to get internet service, is it?
No, it's not, Joe. But before that, I'd like to just add on to Stan's comment about, he talked about MRIs or x-rays or whatnot in telemedicine. An example that I like to throw around in the agricultural community when we talk about maybe our farmers' needs, for example, is when they're doing, say they have a sick cow or a sick hog, and they're working with their veterinarian in trying to move information back and forth from the farm to the lab, maybe OSU veterinary school. So we're not just talking about telemedicine, but we're also talking about how it translates, those needs for fast services translate to other industries as well, industries you don't always think about. Now back to your question about how you actually get the broadband. There's lots of different ways. Obviously, there's cable, there's DSL, there's wireless.
What's DSL?
Digital subscriber line, I think. And again, this is probably a better question for Ed than for me, but digital subscriber line, and it's variable speeds. That's what
telephone.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of your telephone companies will provide broadband that way. And then also you have satellite, which is kind of questionable among some folks as to how fast of broadband that really is. But it's also it's certainly better than dial-up. So.
And wireless is coming on. Is that correct? Can somebody explain how that works?
Yeah, do you want to?
There's two ways, and just to further amplify what DSL is, that is a phone company technology using their existing copper wires, and then. It's basically copper on steroids, but it is not as robust usually, I think most would agree, as the cable television infrastructure that provides high-speed data. But on top of that, there's fixed and mobile wireless, where and that could be a potential solution for those in the rural areas who may not be able to get wireline. There's also a technology called broadband over power lines that the electric industry has been experimenting with, which I think has a lot of potential in the unserved areas because there is electric infrastructure pretty much everywhere.
So the same thing that's bringing electricity to my house could deliver broadband service.
Absolutely.
The exact same wires.
Yes.
That's happening now or down the pike?
It's happening in limited ways. The technology is not as fully developed as we'd like to see it to be able to really roll it out aggressively. But they're making significant strides, as we speak. And I've heard some recent reports that some of the new technologies are very effective. There's lots of challenges to doing that. You go through switching stations, and there's lots of crosstalk among the wires. So it's a challenging technical problem. But I do think it'll yield fruit in the long run.
And I might add to that, and Stan, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you think about broadband over power lines, most people think, oh, I can plug into my electrical outlet and get broadband. I think it travels over the large utility electrical lines, but when you bring it actually into the home, it goes back into a normal type connection that most people are used to.
Yeah, I think typically what happens, and again, the technologies differ, but you would run, you'd have a specific piece of equipment that would hook into a plug someplace close to the feed that comes in off of the transformer outside of your house. And then you could either transmit it there using wireless technologies or perhaps put it onto a cable system or a coaxial cable system that's running around your house.
We are talking about bringing more widespread broadband service to the state of Ohio. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about one of the upcoming projects that's actually underway in Ohio. We need to find out where we do and where we don't have broadband capability, broadband service in Ohio. It's called the Connect Ohio Initiative, and we're going to talk about that effort as well as what some of the impediments are to getting broadband into more of our rural areas. We'll be back with more of Town Hall Ohio in just a few moments.
We talk about life in the Buckeye State on Town Hall Ohio.
Life in the country beats the city every time. Out of the rat race, no more dirty streets, no crime. Yeah, life in the country beats that city every time. Oh, but life without cable, gonna make me lose my mind.
We welcome you back to Town Hall, Ohio, where we're talking about people who may have cable, but it's not real fast. How do we expand broadband cable delivery to Ohio, and what are going to be some of the challenges to doing that and opportunities if we're able to make it happen? Stan Ahalt of the Ohio Supercomputer Center, Chris Henney of the Ohio Farm Bureau, Ed Kozelek of Time Warner Cable are our guests today. One of the things, Chris, that we need to do to make sure that we fix the problem is to understand where the problems are. It's called the Connect Ohio Initiative. In rough layman's language, what is that?
Well, the Connect Ohio Initiative is actually pretty exciting. It's modeled after something that was very successful in the state of Kentucky, just south of us. And the first and foremost, what the initiative will do is do some in-depth mapping and help us figure out where we have broadband and where we don't, and what kind of broadband we do have in the areas where we have it. So that's exciting. And then furthermore, it'll go into surveying the local communities. And finally, we'll start the dialogue with local community leaders, business leaders, and individual users to figure out, you know, what they need and how we can get it for them.
Ed, is it safe to assume, am I right in assuming that the majority of the broadband short areas of Ohio are rural areas?
Yes and no. I think that what this map is going to show is that there is a very robust broadband deployment in this state. I served on the Ecom Ohio Steering Committee back in the late 1990s, early 2000s, where we did this exact same broadband mapping study. And I think those individuals on the steering committee and policymakers were pleasantly surprised with how robust our infrastructure already was. And the biggest problem with these maps is by the time they were completed, they were already obsolete because of the continued infrastructure deployment. I think now with technology improving on putting these maps together, we can do them more in real time and continue to update them. But I think that we have a great story to tell as far as our broadband deployment in this state. And the map is going to help us identify the remaining pockets where there may not be wireline broadband infrastructure and help us identify some potential solutions for those areas, including alternative technologies.
Stan, you're nodding your head. Yes, you think we're pretty well covered?
I guess I think it's more of a mixed bag than Ed would necessarily agree with. I think that if you go to most of the urban areas in the state of Ohio, we have pretty good coverage, and we have some significant competition in a lot of the areas, which has driven the price down to affordable levels. I think that there are rural areas where there is a very a significant struggle to get access to high-speed broadband. If you define broadband at the lower end of the spectrum, the 220 kilobits, then we probably do have fairly decent coverage, particularly if you consider satellite connections. But if you want to take it and ramp it up and say, let's be more aggressive and put the market 45 megabits or some significant number where we can start talking about moving high-definition video over those links, then I think it's a bigger struggle, particularly if you kick in the affordability factor. So I think the Connect Ohio Initiative will give us a much better picture of where we are in reality. And I also wanted to add one more comment. I do think there's some urban areas that are, I don't want to say underserved, because I think the availability is there, but the take rates haven't been significant. And I think one of the things...
Take rate meaning people buying it?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, I mean, I think my colleagues in the private sector necessarily want to make sure that they're going to make a return on their investment when they put money into building out their infrastructure.
You know how those capitalists are.
It's a funny thing, but I feel the same way when I'm investing my money. You know, you want to make sure that you're going to have enough customers out there to make it worth your while. And I think that we will find pockets, urban pockets, where we need to incent the use, maybe by finding ways of putting refurbished or, inexpensive computers into play, or maybe it's a training exercise. I think there's more we can do to make sure that the citizens, get a more aggressive use of broadband.
Chris, I know you're all about having good data, but anecdotally, as we're preparing to collect this data, what do you hear from Farm Bureau members in terms of can they get it where they want it at a price they can afford?
Sure. Most everyone can get a satellite connection, except when it's raining or maybe a little overcast or if the wind's blowing the wrong direction.
Details.
Just small details. But again, those speeds aren't always adequate for what their needs are. We're hearing a lot of folks that say that they just don't, it's just down the road from them, but they can't convince their provider to just take it that last little bit. In some cases, just a matter of 100 or 200 yards, which seems kind of crazy. But there's good reasons for why the providers aren't able to get it just a little bit further. So I think anecdotally, we're hearing that there's a lot of spots that still need decent access, but affordability is an issue too. You know, anyone can get a T1 line somewhere, but you're talking a lot of money. Yeah, sure, we can get broadband anywhere, but can we get it to where it's needed at an affordable rate for the user?
So why do you charge so much money at Time Warner, Ed? No, we're going to come back to that question. We, as Chris pointed out, there are legitimate reasons why your company just doesn't string a cable to everybody that wants it, regardless of how far out they are. There are a variety of impediments to helping expand the broadband service in the state of Ohio. We're going to discuss those as we continue our talk with Chris Henney of the Ohio Farm Bureau, Ed Kozelek of Time Warner Cable, Stan Ahalt of the Ohio Supercomputer Center. We'll be back with more on Town Hall Ohio right after this.
There's one thing I know, it's too slow. And don't I know, if I don't get there, don't just say I told you so. I told you so. It's too slow. Don't I know.
A lot of folks feel their broadband service or internet connectivity is far too slow, and we're talking about the possibilities of trying to expand broadband service across Ohio. Joining us on Town Hall Ohio today, Ed Kozelek. He is with Time Warner Cable, where he's their Vice President of Government Affairs. Stan Ahalt is the Executive Director of the Ohio Supercomputer Center. Chris Henney is Director of Policy Development for the Ohio Farm Bureau. Real quick, Stan, we never did explain what the Ohio Supercomputer Center is. We know you're co-chair of the Broadband Council, but what's your day job?
Well, my day job also includes networking. The Ohio Supercomputer Center does four things. We provide high-performance computing. That's supercomputing for the higher education community and for industrial counterparts around the state of Ohio. We also provide the statewide network core, the backbone for the higher education community and K through 12 community public television stations, or public broadcasting, I should say. We do research where we go out and, do sponsored research for Department of Defense, NIH, Department of Energy. And then finally, we have an educational mission. All of this is done under the umbrella of the Ohio State University. And basically, our real goal is innovation and collaboration with others around the state.
Well, we are talking about bringing broadband service to rural areas and underserved urban areas. Chris, you touched on this a little bit ago, that some of our members might be a little bit frustrated that they can't get broadband that last couple of hundred yards. It might be just right up at the end of the road, but it won't come to their farm. And that's frustrating, but there are reasons for that.
Oh, sure. We heard earlier in the conversation about take rates, you know, who's going to buy the product once it's out there. And we can relate it back to agriculture. You know, if farmers want to plant some corn, they want to make sure that there's a market to sell that corn, because there's significant inputs to grow that crop, you know, fuel, fertilizer, et cetera. Well, broadband's no different. There's a significant expenses to put that infrastructure in the ground, or those, you know, the wireless signals in the air. And they want to make sure those companies, such as Time Warner, AT&T, and others, want to make sure that they're going to recoup a profit, because in the end, they report to their shareholders. That's what American business is all about.
And, of course, one of the challenges, especially when you're talking, I would imagine, Ed, when you're talking about a land line, is the fact that as you string those cables out into the country, in my neighborhood, you've got 15 feet to go to my neighbor and service them. But out in the country, we're talking just long stretches of physically having to stretch cable.
It really is a significant expense to string your fiber coax hybrid network just a few hundred yards, not to mention you either have to dig a trench or string it along poles. You also have to get permission from the pole owner or the conduit owner to put your infrastructure in the trench, and there usually is a charge associated with that. Sometimes if it's private property, the private property owner may say no unless you make a significant investment. But so there are a lot of barriers to sometimes stringing that infrastructure, the few hundred yards. And on top of that, what if the customer decides they don't need the service? They don't want the service. They were just fine without it. Then you have that significant sunk cost. But I will say also that we have always encouraged some of our customers in those situations, let's think outside the box, let's get creative, let's think of potential cost-sharing arrangements. And then that is an area where policymakers may be able to be helpful. I mean, there are all sorts of subsidy programs right now for other things that for the farming community, for the rural community. Why not a subsidy program or tax credits or some sort of incentive to encourage private sector providers to extend their infrastructure?
Stan, are there other impediments to expanding broadband beyond the economics?
Well, there's always technological impediments that rear their ugly head, if you will. You know, there are some areas, particularly in the southeastern part of Ohio, the topology is just a challenge because it's there's hills and valleys, and that's a challenge to traverse those. Whereas it may be considerably easier to run wire either in the air or in the ground in the Northwest. You know, one of the key factors here is exactly what Ed hit on, and that is this idea of sharing. If we can aggregate, if we can bring together many customers, and that's really what the Broadband Council's intent is, and then from the other end of the bookend, if you will, Connect Ohio trying to make sure they understand who the possible customers are, you know, then this investment that a Time Warner, an AT&T, Quest, whoever happens to be in that area, that investment gets amortized over a larger number of users, and there's a greater surety, less risk in that investment for the private sector. So that's what we're trying to do, is how can we come together as a community and find ways of making sure that investment is going to make sense in the long run, and in doing so, serve all of our needs, government needs, private sector needs, individual homeowner needs, healthcare, traffic and safety, you name it.
That's what's so exciting about what's going on in the state right now. I think these public-private partnerships and the folks thinking outside of the box, policy-wise and so forth, that I think makes it an exciting time and a bright future for broadband in the state.
Well, we're going to talk about the implications of what could be, I guess, if we're able to expand broadband service in the areas of the jobs, healthcare, education, agriculture, and a variety of other subjects. We'll be back to do that in just a couple of moments on Town Hall Ohio.
Connection, well, I just can't make no connection. Well, all I want to do is get back to you.
We are talking broadband and expanding it through the state of Ohio, and our guests in the studio today, Ed Kozelek of Time Warner Cable, Chris Henney of the Ohio Farm Bureau, and Stan Ahalt of the Ohio Supercomputer Center. Stan also serves as the chairman of the Ohio Broadband Council. Ed and Chris serve on that as well. Let's talk about down the road here. When you three gentlemen have helped lead Ohio into the broadband future, and everybody has it, and it's extremely affordable, and the cable providers are all making money, and it's all going very, very well, what are we going to do with this technology? Stan, give me an example of something that we'll be able to do in a remote area of Ohio when we do have broadband that we can't do now.
Well, one example that was really moving to me was a recent example of telemedicine, and it's a cooperation between Nationwide Children's Hospital and the Adena Healthcare System down in Chillicothe. And that relationship was forged based on the number of children who are babies who have to be transported back to Nationwide Hospital here in Columbus in order to take care of their health care needs. And it's very traumatic for the children and for the parents. In some cases, the parents are challenged because of their jobs or because of their incomes to be able to come and spend days, maybe even weeks here in Columbus. And so the idea was born by some physicians that maybe we could do this in a different way. And so they now have effectively a high-definition video conference link between the Nationwide Children's Hospital here in Columbus and one of the clinics down in Chillicothe. And on a daily basis, there's an evaluation by neonatologists here back in Columbus of children down in Chillicothe, and they can basically establish whether or not they need to transport those kids. And as it turns out, you look at the numbers, and about 50%, you know, we've seen a drop of about 50% of the number of kids that have to be transported. And even when they do have to be transported, at least the parents can then go into the clinic and take a look at their babies and see how they're doing and interact with them in, you know, some limited ways of the video conference. So just a very moving example. And that's something that needs to really blossom and be, you know, happen all across the state, in fact, across the nation.
Ed, you work at the State House on behalf of Time Warner and are highly involved in a lot of issues. We're talking a lot about improving education in Ohio. Are there education components to better broadband service that might help us improve the outcomes for our students if we have better broadband?
Well, I think a lot of that stuff is happening right now, and the cable industry has always been very committed through our video product as well as our high-speed internet product to improving the education system in Ohio and in the other states where we do business. But really, I think the sky's the limit when you're talking about broadband applications in the future. And I think there'll be applications that none of us sitting at this table have even thought about.
We, of course, in agriculture are always looking for new and better ways to do things. Chris, will farmers be employing broadband down the road in different ways?
Well, sure. And just some of the ways that they're employing it already are pretty amazing. You know, there's obviously the websites for farm markets and checking commodity prices and weather and all that kind of stuff that's going on now. But we're seeing more and more farmers taking advantage of government programs and other, conservation programs and things like that through the internet. But probably some of the things that's the most exciting to me, or the thing that's most exciting to me, is an example that I cite a lot about a dairy farm that each dairy cow has a ear tag in its ear, and that tag stores all the information about that cow. When it goes to eat, it reads it, and it dispenses the correct amount of food. When it's milked, it reads it, and it knows how much milk, what quality milk, and all that's coming out. Farmer goes around with some sort of handheld device like a Palm Pilot, scans that ear tag, downloads it to the computer. If that farmer has broadband technology, can send those detailed records to his veterinarian, to his field feed salesman. The sky's the limit, but you have to have those kind of connections, those broadband connections, to make the full circle. And that's happening now. I can only imagine where it's going to go in the future for agriculture.
There's a lot of folks who make money and I'm setting aside those signs that you see posted to the telephone pole, make money at home. But you can make money working at home on the internet. Stan, does this more broadband service mean more people have that opportunity at some point down the road?
Oh, I have been astonished personally. I've been in this broadband business for a number of years as an academic. And, I saw it when it was first rolling out in the late 80s and early 90s. And I look now at the number of businesses that are online and thriving, companies that you perhaps wouldn't be able to see otherwise, companies that sell a very specialized product, but they're able to reach a large enough number of customers that they can make a business out of it, and it doesn't matter where it is.
Well, we're going to be wrapping up our conversation about bringing more broadband into more areas of Ohio. We'll do that in just a couple of moments with Ed Kozelek of Time Warner Cable, Chris Henney of the Ohio Farm Bureau, and Stan Ahol of the Ohio Supercomputer Center. In a lot of areas of Ohio, their internet connectivity is too slow, and there is the Ohio Broadband Council in existence right now trying to fix that problem. It's where we've been today on Town Hall, Ohio. Chris Henney of the Farm Bureau, Ed Kozelek of Time Warner Cable, Stan Ahol of the Ohio Supercomputer Center. We're talking about some of the new and cool things that might happen down the road when more people have broadband service. Stan, you were talking about user-generated content and how that can explode. You don't necessarily have to use it for commerce or for medicine. You can use it for fun and staying in touch with the family.
Fun, education, you name it. One of the real phenomena that I think we're seeing now in the broadband community is, YouTube is a good example of how, you know, the democratization of simple tools, it's gotten easier and easier to create your own video content, edit it, and put it up. And some of them are very skillfully done. And
I think some not so much. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I agree. And, you know, that's another technology that's going to be very important is how do we search across that video content to be able to find what we need. But I think it's just a wonderful opportunity for people who do live in more remote areas to have a sense of community, talk to their neighbors very easily. It's I think the technology is just coming very rapidly.
And Chris, I know State Farm Bureau board members are conferencing over the internet more often now.
Yeah, and that's really exciting because, you know, they come from all over the state for their board meetings, their regular board meetings, and this is a way to kind of limit the amount of travel that they need. But also in the education field, you know, Ohio State University Extension, I know in the realm of agriculture, are using video conferencing as a way to educate farmers. Farmers in a county can go perhaps to the local extension office and then hear statewide instructional video or not video, but to have the conference in one location that's piped in through these broadband connections.
And at $3.50 or $4 a gallon, the more you can do on the internet, the better off you are. Ed, as we start to wrap up the show, you're in the private sector. Chris is. Stan is at the Ohio State University. What do we need out of our government, be it federal or state or even local, to help grease the skids and move this whole initiative further along?
You know, that's a whole separate show, but in a
nutshell. We'll have you back.
Okay. I think government keeping their hands off the internet has worked very, very well. And I would certainly encourage policymakers to keep that in mind when they're looking at any sort of policy changes. Don't try to regulate the internet, because you do that, you are going to limit some of these wonderful applications that we are seeing right now and will see in the future. And don't tax it where people can't afford it. And let's look for incentives, creative incentives, to continue the deployment of broadband infrastructure so that it is ubiquitous.
Other thoughts on the policy front, Stan, Chris?
Well, I think public-private partnerships, incentivizing what Ed was talking about, is important. Regulation should never be the first answer. There's always alternatives, I think. And so I think there's opportunity with what we're doing right now to create great symbiotic relationships between the private sector and the public agencies, public policy providers.
As we wrap things up, Stan Ahold of the Ohio Supercomputer Center, how far are we away from internet nirvana in Ohio, where everybody has as much of it as they want at the price they want?
Gosh, if I knew that, I think I would be able to capitalize on it in a nice way. I'm thinking that, you know, in the next 3 years or so, we're going to see steady progress of making sure that we try to minimize the number of pockets that are still underserved or not served at all. And probably, you know, my aggressive dream of bringing very high-end broadband, very high-speed broadband to all the citizens of Ohio, you know, that's probably farther out, but I think we'll make steady progress. The technology's changing and becoming less expensive. So I think that, you know, in the long run, we're in a very good position. I think Ohio has a lot to be very proud of under the leadership of the Board of Regents. They stepped out and built this core network, and that's a real advantage for us now. In working with the private sector, because the state's been able to organize itself and to think about, you know, how do we make further investments so that the private sector is incented to go into these other areas. We have the Broadband Council, which is something we didn't have in the past, and I think it's a real positive indicator for Ohio.
Real quick, if folks, can you recommend a website where people can learn more about what's going on in Ohio and just kind of follow what you folks on the Broadband Council are doing?
Sure. So two of them that I would mention right off the top of my head is the OhioBroadbandCouncil.org. That's www.OhioBroadbandCouncil.org, spelled just the way you'd expect it to be. And then connectohio.org. Those two are mentioned here today, and they're a good stepping off point.
Our guests, Stan Ahold of the Supercomputer Center, Ed Kozulik of Time Warner, Chris Henney of Farm Bureau, thanks for joining us on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.